7.
Yeah.
And he's been wrestling too, though.
Okay.
Jiu-jitsu is great, but if you can't take somebody down,
yeah.
It's like jiu-jitsu, they don't teach any takedowns. So get him in wrestling. If he has those two.
Yeah. Now, your background is wrestling.
Wrestling, yeah. I grew up, my dad got me in wrestling when I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
Wrestled all the way through college, Arizona State, and then started doing jiu-jitsu when I was 24.
And you just went brown belt, right?
Yeah, I just got brown belt finally.
Congratulations.
Only 14 short years. Usually it should only take you 10 years to get a black belt, but
yeah.
We don't do the gi a lot because we don't fight in one.
Yeah.
So, like, the belt system is only for gi jiu-jitsu. And you got to learn all the fucking chokes to choke people with their own clothes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your leather jacket you have on.
Could be used against me.
Against you.
Sure. Yeah. That's awesome.
These grips I could do, yeah, and fucking choke you out with your jacket. That's why I always wear t-shirts.
All right, there you go.
Just in case.
See, I don't think about shit like that. Thank you.
Hopefully,
brother.
You're not getting any mini fights with people.
No, I hope not, yeah, man.
Hopefully, not tonight.
Yeah.
All right.
No one rushes the stage.
Well, you get
a
good backup tonight.
Make a good backup.
Right. Now, stories are good. That's why we're here. We've already got some cool stuff, I already think, but let's go ahead and get it going. This is Cody Jinx. We're a couple in. To my right, Bobby Keith.
Yes, sir. How
to
you
my left. I'm good. How are you, buddy?
Good.
To his right, Hot Rod.
Hello, sir.
Welcome back. You had a little hiatus.
I did. I had a hiatus that I missed, but I'm here now for this one. I'm excited.
Well, he had to go take care of business.
What do you call it?
Drop one in.
Drop. All right. To my left, we have Josh Thompson. What's up? Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Good. Good, good, good.
Another day.
Another day.
Of the tour.
Last day of the tour. We're in Joliet, Illinois right now. And right across the table from me, our special guest today, CB Dalloway.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, boys.
Dude, thanks for coming out, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just a short trip from Arizona, you know, just flew in.
Flight,
you know,
delayed and everything.
Yeah, how was your flight today?
It fucking sucked because I have a sinus infection. Anyone that knows, you fly with a sinus infection, your ears just get all fucked up. So I can't hear what you guys are saying for the most part, but I'll try my best.
In there. Yeah, I'll keep my mic low so you can read lips today.
Yeah, I'm an expert lip reader, so.
There you go. Well, thank you for taking your time. I know you literally just got off an airplane, hauled ass over here, so, you know, again.
I had a couple beers before I came.
Well, good. It's called a couple break, in, yeah. Man. That's what we do.
He did it right.
Huck Finn, had to hook me up.
Well, I mean, let's
cheers.
Go ahead and, who's your posse?
We got the cast. We got the whole cast today. We got a party happening. Yeah. There's beers opening. Yeah,
drinking beers since 10 this morning.
Huck Finn, his wife, and then my dad made an appearance today. So,
what's up, guys? Hey, welcome. Yeah, right. Cheers.
Thank y'all for being here.
It's our first live studio audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's quick though.
Man. Yeah. Don't make him mad. He can beat all of us up.
I'm not making anybody mad here. This is I'm not this isn't
you.
Oh.
This isn't that like women's daytime talk show. I don't invite people on and like berate them and then kick them off, you know. Like what do they do on The Voice or The Talk or some shit like
the
that.
View.
The View. No, this is fun. This is conversational. Basically, I think the first time I met you, we were in Arizona.
Oh yeah.
Maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Sometime like that.
Or you guys know Jimmy Wade?
Yes.
One of you guys know him. Yeah. He's like, you got to check this guy out. And my ex-wife, or was wife at the time, but ex-wife's like, fucking love Cody Jinx. She's like, let's go. So me, my buddy is an ex-Green Beret, end up coming with us. Had a good time with you guys. I don't remember the last part of the night, though.
I can tell you this, though. One thing that sticks out in my mind was we were all standing out behind the club that night, and we were all...
A little hammered.
We were all drunk, man. We were drunk, all of us.
Yeah.
And this dude walks into you. It wasn't trying to be an asshole or anything, but like, you know, definitely kind of ran into you. And you turned around, and I was like, oh, God, no. And you go, hey, man, I'm sorry, you know, this and that. And I was like, oh, good, because I didn't want to have to try to separate you two big sons of bitches. Because I was sitting there thinking, but then I was like, you know what? After more of the UFC fighters that I've met and gotten to know, you guys are some of the calmest, mild-mannered guys ever.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I've realized that too, like a lot of the fighters in them around, most of us, yeah, don't want any trouble. It's going to be no good for us. So every now and then though, you have, there's certain hotheads out there, but for the most part, all the UFC guys have been around super cool, super chill, because we get it out in training. We go in there and beat the fuck out of each other in training. So then when you're walking around in the streets, you don't have any aggression or testosterone buildup. You've got it all out in training or in your fights. So
yeah,
pretty calm.
Because then you also realize that nobody out on the street's going to be able to whip your ass. So you're like, dude, come on.
You never know. You never know. Have you ever been on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of people on Twitter that can beat everybody's ass. So
yeah. We call those out. Those are the keyboard warriors. Yeah.
You got them too.
Oh, we got them. We got plenty of them. And you know what? Those are the first people who are going to walk up and ask for your autograph if they see you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So am I right? You're originally from Kalamazoo?
Yeah.
And then went to Ohio.
My dad worked for General Motors, an auto worker. So then plant closed in Michigan, moved to Ohio, finished out my high school career, and then headed to Kansas. Wrestled there at a small junior college, Colby, Kansas, Colby Community College. Won a national title there, and then I was actually at a tournament in Las Vegas, and I saw the Arizona State had a wrestling team. I was like, fuck, that looks like a great place to be. It's warm, freezing my ass off in Kansas. I'd rather be down there. That was the first recruiting trip I went on, and first people to recruit me. So yeah, went down there, signed with them, and kind of the rest was history.
Keith, briefly, I mean, because
there's so much
you've done. Just hit some hot points.
So high school All-American 02, state champ wrestling 171, high school All-American 06, Arizona State. I mean, just to touch on.
So I mean, like, just, you can rewind that and listen to it again. It's a bunch of shit.
Yeah, like that. That's kind of what my background was amateur wrestling. I never planned on being a fighter. I actually graduated college and started working as a recruiter for the IT field. So I was working, I'm watching UFC on TV, and I'm looking at my job, looking at what I'm making, and I start hearing what these guys are making for fighting. I was like, fuck, they make in one fight what I make for the whole year. And then I was seeing how good wrestlers were doing in it, and I was like, fuck, I should give this a try. Started training. Actually, one of my buddies was on the Ultimate Fighter, Jesse Forbes. I think it was Ultimate Fighter 2. And he needed a wrestler to come in and help him get ready. He was fighting Matt Hamill, another Ohio guy. Needed a wrestler to come in and help him. So I went in, started training with him. And the trainers there are like, you're pretty good at this. You might consider giving it a go. Got 6 fights in 1 year and then went on the Ultimate Fighter. So with like 1 year's experience. So then went and finished 2nd on the Ultimate Fighter, lost in the finals.
But first overall pick on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I got first overall pick with Rampage. Yeah. So it's kind of, everything was a blur. It happened so quick. Like, cause at one point I was just going to stay in my town in Ohio and work as a construction worker. And my dad's like, well, they're going to give you a free college education. You should probably go and try that. I was like, cause I wasn't good in school at all. Then when I went to college, I did a lot better, but yeah, my dad's like, you should just go give it a try. If it doesn't work out, what did you lose? You guys kind of know the rest. Went on to the UFC and everything. But yeah, at one point I was just going to stay and be a construction worker. So not that that's a bad thing.
No, but, yeah, absolutely. So when you're doing the show, how close together were those fights? You know, is it 2 weeks? Is it a month?
I had 3 fights in 13 days because I was the first pick, so I was the last one to fight. So they would have a fight every 3 days in the house. But then on the show, they make it look like it's 1 week apart.
Yeah.
But it's every 3 days. And then when you get down towards the quarters and semifinals, you fight within like 3 days after your other fight.
I was going to say, there's no time to heal.
Oh, no. Yeah. But since I was the first pick, I was the last one to go. And then I had my quarterfinal and semifinal. Boom, boom, boom. Everything happened real quick. But yeah, you don't get any time to heal up. So yeah, it's kind of like, hope I don't get cut or get any serious injury, you know, or you'd be out of the tournament.
Yeah, but something on that show to where you got to come back and fight again.
So, yeah, that's a great story, actually. So after the show, Dana takes us out to a nice steak dinner and then takes us out to this place called the Spearmint Rhino. I don't know if you've ever
We've been
of
there.
Oh, yeah.
We've been there.
You guys ever been there?
Got a song about it.
Yeah, one good decision.
Dana takes us out there, gives us all a couple $1,000 in chips. And we got to remember, all of us guys have been in a house. Like, we haven't had contact with the outside world for the last 10 weeks or 6 weeks, I think.
Oh, shit.
So we go in there and we're just fucking, you know, he gives us a bunch of money. We're just spending, having fun, drinking. One of the guy that made it to the finals, I lost in the semifinals. So me and one other guy were out and these other two guys were going to face in the finals. So one of the guys that was going to be in the finals gets out of his mind goes like out that night and just goes on a fucking rampage, like kicks a window out of a limo, goes into Caesar's Palace, tipping slot machines over, telling he's like, oh, I fight in the UFC, fuck you, nothing's gonna happen to me. So I'm back at home and this like, oops, I didn't know all this happened. I had a great time, and this guy actually wanted to go home after the show. We're like, oh, you should stay another night. He's like, I get kind of crazy when I drink. We're like, oh, I'll just stay another night, we'll all go out, have fun. So yeah, he went out, had that rampage. But anyway, we're back at home, me and the other guy are back at home, and all this, I get a call from the UFC. They're like, hey, we want to bring you up to talk about, you know, just some marketing stuff, whatever, your future, whatever. We go up there and I see the guy, the one of the finalists, leaving like crying almost. I was like, oh fuck, that's not good for him, you know. And then I was like, shit, I hope I didn't do anything that I'm gonna get in trouble for right now. I was like, I don't really remember what happened that night. But then he brings us back in and shows us this surveillance video of the guy fucking kicking the window out of the limo, going in kind of terrorizing the hotel and casino. And Dana looks at us and he's like, he's fucking out, he's done. He goes, you two motherfuckers are coming back in 10 days and fighting each other. See who gets the final spot in the show. He goes, are you in or out? And we both look at each other. We're like, see you in 10 fucking
days. Yeah, see you. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Dana goes, I was going to make you fight today, but he goes, I figured you two had been out partying.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, you are the one that gave us the money, Dana.
Yeah, like, Dana, you kind of caused this. But yeah, we're like, fuck it, and come back in 10 days. So yeah, we left there. I was like, well, this kind of just changed my life, you know. Came back and then was able to win, won a unanimous decision against that guy. It was a war. Dan ended up giving us like an extra 10 grand on top of our fight purses each, because such a good fight. Yeah, made it into the finals. Then got submitted again in the finals. The same guy that beat me in the semifinals sucked, but, you know, kind of catapulted me into the UFC and got my career started.
So you think that's what really got you into the UFC, was just that guy going on a rampage
almost? Well, I still would have been in the UFC, but it gave us like more airtime, yeah, and absolutely, like it just kind of created a cool story around us. That's kind of what I'm learning about fighting. It's not all about how good of a fighter you are. It's like, what's your story? People want a good story. I think that's with any entertainer. Cody probably knows that.
I was going to say, I think that people like a good narrative in this.
Yeah, there's got to be some story. Like, if you can sing, but you have no story about you.
Right. Agreed.
You might not sell. Yeah, you're not going to get that following.
Because at the end of the day, everybody that we have and will have on this show, we're entertainers. I mean, people pay to see what we do for a living. So there's that story, that narrative that they want.
You have to humanize them, you know, make them relate to the public, or not you, but the, you know, whoever's promoting them.
Yeah.
Like UFC or whatever, you know. That's the thing. If you could be the greatest fighter in the world, but if nobody follows you or wants to watch you, they're not going to put you in there. So they're like, well, you need a following, you need eyes on you, because that translates to dollars for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
same in your industry, I would assume.
Selling baseball jerseys, selling football jerseys. Yeah.
If you don't sell songs or sell concert tickets, they're not going to put you on the stage.
Yeah, asses in seats.
Yeah, asses in seats, same business.
That's
the exact business we're all in.
Yeah,
we all do want to know where your nickname, the Doberman, how did it originate?
Oh, the Doberman. So yeah, my first trainers gave me that nickname. So, yeah, when we started, like, none of us knew how to fight. We knew how to wrestle, but this gym I started at, me and Ryan Bader, a couple other, Aaron Simpson, Kellen Flukinger, that's about, yeah, all of the ASU wrestlers, we started there, and we're all wrestlers. They would take and put us in there with these professional kickboxers and be like, you guys are gonna spar, but you can't wrestle them. We're like,
then what are you supposed to do?
Kickbox with fucking professional kickboxers.
Oh, let's just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, so that's what we did. It's like, that gym definitely made us tough. I don't know if that was the smartest strategy, but they were trying to fast track us. Like, one of the guys was already 32 years old. He was our coach at Arizona State, getting into fighting. They're like, you can't be fighting amateur fights and all that shit. You're going to be 40 and that'll be done. So they just started throwing us into the fucking fire, you know, like, get in there. And then what they told us is they wanted to see, are you game? What are you going to do when you start getting fucked up? Are you going to turn, or are you going to go into the fire and start fucking throwing down? And when they kind of saw that with me and a couple of the other guys, they're like, you're like a fucking dog. They're like, you kind of look like a Doberman. Because I was a little skinnier than I've gotten bigger over the years, but kind of skinnier and leaner. They're like, you look like a fucking Doberman. And they're like, you fight like a dog. You're getting your ass beat, but you just keep staying in there, going and getting it. So then the Doberman was born.
Awesome. This is great. I brought this up a while ago. We were kind of talking about it, though. You were talking about wrestling. My son just started Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and you just got your brown belt.
Yes, sir. 14 short years.
In 14 short years. Is that why they call it a discipline?
Oh, yeah. The way you, like, if your son's ever going to get his black belt, he's looking at a 10-year commitment at the least.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's consistency. There's just so much to learn with it. Like, when I started, I had that wrestling background. So I thought, I'm like, I know grappling. Like, they're not going to teach me this fucking jiu-jitsu bullshit. And went in and started getting, like, submitted. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, and these guys aren't, like, out wrestling me. They're just catching me with this shit. And it just showed me, like, your wrestling can almost be used against you. If you don't know the submission game, the chokes, the arm locks, the ankle locks, just opened my eyes to this whole new world. Because in wrestling, guys fight to stay off their back. Jiu-jitsu, that's where they want to go. That's where all the submissions are, off your back. So it opened my eyes and put me on a journey. Like I said, 14 years to get my brown belt. But a lot of it is that I don't do the gi, which is that karate uniform, because we don't fight in it. Like, when we fight, you're in shorts, so you don't want to be reaching for a collar or a sleeve or a pant leg when some guy's dropping elbows on your face.
Yeah,
counterintuitive. But yeah, it's been a great journey, and I hope, and they say the transition from brown to black is usually within a year, so hopefully by this time next year, I'll be telling you guys I got my black belt.
I hope so too, but you know, I was just reading up on it, because I read up on it whenever he decided he wanted to go. It was about 4 months ago, and I didn't know a lot about it, and we're small people, and my wife's small, I'm small, and it's good for small people because it's kind of an act of leverage. And
well, that's the whole theory behind jiu-jitsu, is the smaller man defeats the bigger, stronger opponent. You use their body weight against them, their size against them.
Yeah.
So like I said, coming from that wrestling background, in wrestling, it's go forward and grind and pressure and all this.
Yeah.
In jiu-jitsu, they use that against you. So once you can learn both, it's tremendous. Like I said, you know, 14 years in, I've kind of got both of them down pretty well.
Yeah.
But like for your son, I was saying you should pair jiu-jitsu and wrestling together with him, because there is not really takedowns in jiu-jitsu. They start, they do the guard pull where they pull people on top of them, wrap their legs around. But if you can't get a guy to the ground, your jiu-jitsu, you see it in the UFC sometimes. Mm-hmm. These great jiu-jitsu fighters can't get a striker to the ground, and they get the shit beat out of them on the feet. So you definitely want to add the takedown element to the game.
Gotcha. Speaking of that, Loud and Heavy. What made you walk out to Loud and Heavy? Like, what about that song?
That was awesome, man.
Your boy, Jimmy Wade, Keith's boy. So he's the same one that kind of put me in contact with him. And he's like, you should fucking walk out to Cody Jinks' song. And this was before I met you guys. He sent some of them over because I didn't really know much about you. You're not real mainstream, especially when it was 5 years ago almost.
Yeah,
it was 2016. Yeah,
so you're just kind of starting to blow up.
Yeah.
So he sends me over some of the songs. I'm like, how the fuck haven't I heard of this guy? And that song just kind of clicked with me. Just, I don't know. Yeah, like the walk out to a fight's a weird thing. That song just kind of got to me. Like, I guess I like put it to like almost jumping out of an airplane. Like your walkout, you're fucking going out there and you don't know what the fuck's going to happen. You know, in your mind, you're like, I've trained for this, da 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 da. I'm confident, all that. But when you go out there, you're like, I'm fighting another professional fighter. That this is all he does is trains. And some of the lyrics to the song, it just kind of clicked with me. And I was like, I fucking like this song. Pumps me up.
Yeah.
Fucking went with it.
It's funny to me because I don't understand why athletes have picked that song, but we've had baseball players, like pitchers, go out and warm up to it, or it being a batter's walk-up song, or you're not the only UFC fighter that's walked out to that song.
Yeah, it's like the Loud Thunder, Heavy Rain. Like, you, for it's, some like, reason, it's like,
it's whatever's going on in your head, right?
Head is Loud Thunder, like,
because that's
there's
what
the so many emotions going on in your mind and fucking thoughts. Like, it's a whole experience in itself, is that walkout, like trying to deal with all those nerves and emotions and thoughts. Like, did I train for this properly? I'm getting all pumped up right now.
But we were talking about this earlier. On a fight day, do you wake up nervous, scared, relaxed?
You wake up, you feel like you can throw up.
Okay.
Like, right, first thing, I generally try to sleep as late as I can. Like, my last fight I just fought in Japan, I woke up at 5 a.m. And you know, once you wake up, you're not going back to sleep.
Yeah.
You're up and you're just like wired, like the hair is standing up on the back of your neck, because you're like, I'm going to be fighting another professional here in about, you know, 12 hours or so, and then that's all you can think about. It consumes you.
Mm-hmm. You got to spend New Year's over there in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Japan was sick. Fight didn't go my way, but that wasn't sick. But no, just like the crowd over there, the people, most respectful, cleanest city, great food. It was like 50,000 people, Saitama Super Arena. Yeah, they like have fireworks and shit going off when you're walking. It was a lot different than the UFC.
Wow.
So the promotion's called Risen. Yeah, it was pretty intense.
How long were you there in country?
I was there for like 7 days. But did you guys ever watch the old Pride Fighting Championships?
I watched a little bit of it, like highlights and stuff.
Yeah, so that's the old owners of that started this, because UFC bought Pride and put them out of business, get rid of their competition, basically. So the same owners went and just started a new promotion under a different name.
Gotcha.
So they do all the old stuff, huge TV screens and shit behind you. Like UFC, you don't get to customize your like walkouts. Like it's this, you're going to walk out with your three corner men. That's it. Like over in Japan, they'll let you walk out with like dancers, girls, whatever, like dogs, whatever you want. They're all about the show.
Whatever kind of,
whatever you can come up with. Yes. I didn't know that, but I'm like, fuck.
A little more theatrics in it. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all about entertainment there. Yeah. It's a show.
Yeah.
It's, you should go set up your band over there and let him walk out.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Well, we've been trying to talk with some promoters about getting over there, because everybody that I know that's been over there to work in any capacity, athletes, and
they treat you so well. Yeah, you'll
all I've heard is how wonderful they are. Where has this taken you? I mean, what all countries have you?
Oh shit! Been to Brazil 3 times to fight, Russia, Germany, Australia, Canada. Yeah, Russia is a fucking pretty crazy place, Moscow.
Yeah.
If you can ever get over there, you should.
Well, I would love to. I really would. That's on my wish list. I don't know how well country music would do over there, but...
Who cares? Yeah. They do listen to country. It's very Americanized.
Where's your favorite?
Probably Berlin.
Berlin's fun.
Going over to Germany, yeah. Sick seeing all like the World War II museums, traveling all over. Like me and my trainer went there 10 days before the fight and rented bikes from our hotel and just fucking went all around the city, checked all the shit out, all the museums and the shit that Hitler built.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a fucked up person, but all the shit he built.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, Berlin's.
Berlin is, like, for a sightseer, it's the place to be.
It is. We've got to spend a bunch of time over there, because every time we'd go over and tour over there, we'd always fly into Berlin.
So I didn't know that about you guys. You've been to other countries touring.
Yeah.
I thought you guys were just here in the United States.
No, and mostly in Berlin.
Hell yeah.
We played a few countries, but Berlin.
No, there's no we. We haven't been.
Josh and I have.
It's like, fuck you guys.
Josh, well, but the last time.
A long time ago.
It was a long time ago, though. I mean, we did 8 tours over there and haven't been over there in 8 years. You know, it's like, hey, man, you fly across the pond enough. You know.
Yeah, don't want to do it too many times.
But I do love it, man. I love the people.
Yeah, it's just a big trip. Like, Japan, for me, is like 14 hours or 16 hours of travel or some shit.
Yeah.
It's like, not going to do it every week, you know?
Yeah.
Once a year, or twice a year is not bad.
Yeah.
You know, look at it like that's an adventure.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go over and do some shit that, you know, most people don't get to go do.
Yeah, it's the same for me. I go to another country, another culture, mm-hmm. have someone else pay for it. It's nice. How does that work for you guys?
Yeah, I pay for everything.
You have to pay for everything. That's why you haven't. That's why you guys are looking
to go. That's why we're here, yeah.
No, just, you know, you try to set up the deals with the promoters. It's the same as your business. You know, it's what can we get?
Yeah, what you can get out of
them. What can we not get? You know, that type of deal. Yeah, it's very much the same. And
how many hotel rooms?
How many
people are they going to pay per diem for?
Yeah. You know, are we getting per diem? We better be getting per diem.
Hopefully.
You know, all these kinds of things.
Now I'd assume they treat you pretty well, right? Or that was 8 years ago.
But that was 8 years ago. Yeah, that was back when we were going over there for 3 weeks, making like
I think
$2,500.
Yeah, about $2,000. And that was pretty good 3 weeks.
Back then,
that was pretty good 3 weeks.
And they were feeding us.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Giving you free beer.
Yeah.
You got some good beer there.
Oh, yeah. Lots of beer, man. That's what you do when you're over there.
Well, but when you're over there, and I'm sure that's what they want to do. They want to show you their local beer,
their culture,
and they want to feed you. You know, that's what they want to do over there.
And line dance to your songs.
Well,
yeah,
a few select,
just a few places.
Troops,
but that
line
was
dance troops.
they're endearing, man, and it's cool. So yeah, it's funny you talked about Berlin. I love that place. We're trying to get back over there.
Ever been to Brazil?
No, because I don't know how well country would do in South America.
So they're huge rodeo people down there, though.
They are, and heavy metal.
Yeah, so I didn't know if they would like correlate the rodeo with country music.
Yeah, because a lot of the professional, the guys in the PBR are from Brazil.
Yeah,
a lot of the most badass bull riders are like from Brazil.
Badass fighters. Badass bull riders,
yeah,
from Brazil,
and metalheads. We need to get down there just because they're badass.
Yeah, if you get the crowd behind or against you or behind you. See, I've fought down there 3 times. Like the first time I fought, I was fighting the hometown boy. He's now one of my best friends, Daniel Serafian. At the time, we didn't know each other. This is a co-main event. As I'm getting ready to walk out, there's like the whole crowd is chanting "Usa Ve, Usa Ve." I didn't know what it meant. After my trainer's like, it means you're gonna die. Jeez. Like they get behind their fight. Yeah. As I'm like walking out, guys are like, we're gonna cut your fucking head off, throwing beers on us.
Yeah.
I beat this guy in a, it was a fucking crazy ass fight. I got fight of the night, beat him in this split decision, and the crowd starts booing so loud. Like we were right next to each other, we couldn't hear each other. Like the cage is fucking red. There's like 20,000 people just all pissed off their guy lost. Then the next time I go and fight, all of them are on my side, like supporting me.
Because you earned it.
Okay, earned their respect, yeah. Having that crazy ass fight. Then I end up knocking out one of their guys like 39 seconds.
Yeah.
Fucking place goes crazy for you. So it was cool to be on both sides of it. But yeah, the first time was a little scary when they're like, the shit they're saying. But like outside of the stadium after the event, I stayed and went to Rio de Janeiro on my first trip. Everyone's super cool, super nice. Like, helpful, good people. And all the we have a lot of Brazilians on our team back in Arizona that train with us. Some of the nicest people. Our head coach is actually from Brazil. So nicest, most caring people.
At Ape Man, correct?
Not at Ape Man, at our Power MMA.
Power MMA, okay.
Yeah.
Ape Man's, they're a apparel company that I kind of work for and market for. Okay. Good dudes too.
Well, we got your sticker on the cooler. So
Power MMA, is that based out of Tempe?
Yeah. That was our team. See, we had a 27,000 square foot gym for a while. Me, Ryan Bader, Aaron Simpson. Yeah, we were kind of all focused on fighting and not focused on running the business. And this is a, like I said, 27,000 square foot facility.
Yeah.
It's like the overhead upwards of 50,000 a month. And we're not like focusing on the business. We're just like, we're fighting, we're doing this, and kind of started to get crazy. We're like, this is too much. You know, we don't want to end up being responsible for millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So I ended up, closing it down. We just kind of train out of a warehouse now. We took all of our stuff from there. It's just professionals. At one time, we had almost 2,500 members at that gym.
Wow.
Trying to manage everybody and whatnot. It was a lot, especially, like I said, none of us were focused on the business. We're all focused on our own fighting careers. So it's just, things got a little weird. We're like, it's time to move on from that and go on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
When you're, you were talking about, you were all pumped up when just talking about the loud and heavy. What goes into the mental aspect of just being a fighter? Because me personally, I don't want to get hit, so I'm not going to be a fighter. Like what goes in, like what makes
that,
a person?
You're disqualified on the first step. Yeah. Yeah.
You're out. You're out.
I think I'm out.
These guys over here on this side of the room, No.
I'm good on that. No, I think it's just being a competitive son of a bitch. Like I told you guys, I never thought I was going to be a fighter. When I wrestled my last match in college, I'm like, I'm fucking done with this. I don't ever care to see a fucking wrestling mat again or sports. Because there's a lot of weight cutting involved, as you guys know, with fighting and wrestling. In wrestling, you had to make the weight every week, sometimes twice a week. On like a tournament, you'd have to make, like if it's a 3-day tournament, you have to make weight every single day. And you guys see, like I'm pretty big guy, so I'm making 184 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm like 230 right now.
Damn.
Back then, I was probably like 195, 200 pounds, but going down to the 184 pound limit every week, sometimes multiple times in the week, fucking sucked. So when I was done, I'm like, fuck this, never doing that again. Then the fighting stuff started happening. I was like, well, it's only 2 or 3 times a year you have to make the weight. I was like, well, give it a try, you know. Then you get in there and you're working out with the guys. And that's what I was saying. Like, what goes into being a fighter? You got to be a competitive motherfucker. You don't want anyone to beat you at anything, any aspect of it. And once you get in there, it's, in my opinion, the greatest game there is. It's a human chess match. Brains versus physical ability. Like, you could have all the physical ability in the world, but if you don't have the brains and technique behind it, you get, you know, like the jiu-jitsu, you get submitted or you get tricked into something. Throw a punch you shouldn't have. The guy's been setting you up for the whole fight and then he fucking knocks you out because he's been setting it up the whole fight and you didn't know it. You didn't see it. There's so many calculations going on in there when you're fighting. If something looks like it's there, probably isn't there. But through experience, you learn that. Yeah, guys are setting you up. Like I said, it's a human chess match. Like, and do any of you guys play chess?
Oh, hell no. That shit's way too hard.
See, I started playing when I was like 14, 15 and loved that game because guess what it comes down to? There's really no luck involved.
No, there's not.
In chess, it's all skill. In fighting, people will say, oh, it was a lucky punch, this or that. But these guys are professionals. They train their craft every day, you know.
Yeah.
If you get caught with something, it's because it was intentional.
So there's really no lucky
Yeah, I mean, people can say that, but you know, you train twice a day every day for your whole life. It's not really luck, you know. They've done something correctly, or they just matched up well against who they're fighting.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fighting too, is the matchup. Like, you can't say, "Oh, this guy beat that guy, so he's going to be able to beat that guy." That shit doesn't work. You have to look at both of their skill sets, see how they match up against each other. They call it MMA math, when they're like, "Well, this guy beat that guy, so he'll beat him." No, it's all about the individual matchup.
How much video prep goes into,
oh, a ton,
into those? Almost as much as in
like NFL shit. Yeah, you're watching, like, trying to look for signs. Like, what does he do before he does this? What happens when he goes here? What's his favorite submission? It's like, I was the first guy to ever pull off a Peruvian necktie in UFC. Never will get that move again, because once you do it once, everyone, when they're going to fight you, they're fucking training. They don't want to be the next highlight, you know, on a highlight reel.
Submission of the night for, yeah, that too, right? Yeah.
Yep. Josh had a question about
that. Well, yeah, I mean, first of all,
you want to get put in it or what?
No, I do not.
Because I would like to see this.
Yes. Let's vote. No.
How?
Yep.
Yeah, they're all raising their hand.
You're okay. Fucked.
Six to one, you lose.
At the very end. How the fuck do they come up with these names for these holds, like the Peruvian necktie?
So this guy, Tony D'Souza, who apparently was like friends with my trainers from way, like when they started, my first trainers were fighters like 10 years before they started training people. They knew this guy, Tony D'Souza, who was a Peruvian. And he fucking created this choke. Started my training camps, one of my trainers like, "I gotta fucking show you this choke, cause you're always in that position," which is a front headlock position for wrestling. He's like, "There's this move called the Peruvian necktie." He's like, "If you can fucking get this on someone, you're gonna get submission of the night, which is $50,000 or $70,000 bonus on top of your fight purse. So it's in your best interest to get a cool ass submission." He showed it to me, and right away, like when I started, like next day, was able to start hitting it on people. And then the guy I was fighting was a wrestler that likes to shoot a lot, so we knew he'd be in that position. I ended up pulling it off, but that's how the name came about, because he was this fucking Peruvian guy that pulled it looked like it's around your neck. All necktie, right. You know?
So if you created your own choke out, what are you going to call it? What would you call it? You ever... The Huck Pin.
Fuck, I don't even know.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. Oh, I've never thought of it.
Yeah, there's so much shit to learn. You don't think about creating your own shit.
That's all I'm thinking about.
I saw a picture of the Peruvian necktie online, and it didn't look comfortable.
I bet it's not.
In fact, it's not real comfortable. It looked horrible.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. It's kind of like a necktie. It's loose, but once you're in it, you're fucked. Like, it never feels dangerous, and then once it feels dangerous, you're fucked.
We're about to find out.
Well, I was going to say, I can't do it because I'm going to sing tonight. I'd like to see one of you guys get in there.
I think Keith is the only one that's
got to work. No, we got to go crash right. Alex's set.
We'll go get Alex.
No, but I will
have to piss on this podcast.
No, you can't.
We can edit it.
Go for it, man.
Yeah. It's no. We.
I'll step in, brother.
It's all good.
This is Huck Finn.
Is you good?
We gave him too much beer before the podcast.
It's cool. You're good. You're good.
Sit down, man.
Sit down. Hey, Huck.
Hey, what's up? This is Huck Finn. I'm going to step in for CB Dalloway over here. I am a world's strongest drunk. Go ahead.
Hey, we did see you on the internet the other day taking some baseballs, acting like...
What were you doing?
That is my most recent viral video.
Yeah.
Yes. I was at Barstool Sports.
Did you have bruises from that?
Several.
Okay.
You
were getting drilled.
It was worth it, brother. 80 miles an hour right to the chest, 80. You know?
80.
Wow. I am, you know, I thought of this thing in my head. The Houston Astros, they're going to get nailed this year.
A lot.
So I stepped into the cage... And I pretended I was a Houston Astro prepping for the upcoming season.
Did you see it?
Right, boom, it took off like a motherfucker.
You know what? I know some people with the Astros organization. You might get a job stepping into balls this year.
I'm in.
All right.
I'm in. Obviously, you guys saw me take it.
You heard it from the man. I'm like, he would turn and just take him in the chest. Well, like,
and then he walked closer.
You're now a new agent.
Yeah, I kept going closer. Kept I wanted it harder, closer. So I was covering my balls up. That was it. I didn't want to get hit in the nuts. Chest is okay. No nut shots.
So when the Astros call you, I'm going to be your agent.
Oh, right. I'm in, brother. 110%.
Okay.
I'll be your assistant.
110 million to take
Huck Finn.
It's just going to take y'all at least 10.
Lead off batter, baby.
At least 10 fucking years to get out of this whole Houston. So you guys are going to.
That is true. Go Astros. You tagging me back in? I'm tagging the man back in. I got to take a leak too.
Hey, Huck.
I've already drank about 15 beers during this podcast.
I've seen it. They're sitting all over the table.
Thanks for being here.
Fucking tank.
Hell
this,
yeah.
This podcast has been brought to you by Huck Finn.
Huck Finn and Miller Lite.
And Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Jesus.
No, hey. But I will say one thing. You know, I think your last fight in the UFC, we were in Norfolk,
Virginia.
Norfolk, yeah.
We
Virginia, were watching it. We watched it, man. It's
we were at the Norva in Norfolk.
You know, we get to know somebody, you know, like you or, you know, yeah. another couple guys that we know. It's tough to watch.
Yeah, that's what they say. Like, my dad has mentioned that a couple times.
Yeah.
But, like, this is what I tell him. I'm like, this is what we love. Like, I wouldn't do anything else in the world. We'd love to do it. It's not like we're forced to go in there. But, yeah, I could understand. Like, personally, when I watch my own friends fight, is worse than when I fight. Mm. Like, my training partners, mm-hmm. you get nervous, more nervous for them than when you fight. Because when you fight, you're like, you have, for some reason, you think you have some kind of control over it, which you obviously don't. That's a false sense of security. But, yeah, when you fight, you're like, oh, I got this. You know, it's under control. But when you're watching your friend fight, you're like, fuck, man. Because you know what they're going in there to face. Like, I remember I cornered Ryan Bader against John Jones.
Wow.
So we're like, and yeah, we're like, this is going to be, and both of them were undefeated. You know, we didn't know John Jones was going to be John Jones, you know, turn out to be probably the greatest martial artist ever walking the octagon. Yeah, I remember the feeling like sitting in there, you know, waiting for him to go out there and fight. You're in that back room. It's just you, your three train, you know, your coaches are sitting there like, fuck, you're about to go fight, you know, this guy, whatever, like, good luck. But then you go out there and they're doing the introductions or like looking across or like, he's fucking big.
I think he's got one of the largest wingspans.
Yeah, 86 inch reach. Yeah. I have a 76 inch reach. So he has 10 inches on me.
Wow.
That's yeah, a lot. He's fucking long. I remember, like, we thought, I remember seeing him at the weigh-in. I was like, fuck, he looks a lot bigger in person. Like, on TV, he looks kind of skinny, but then when he was standing next to Ryan, I was like, fuck, he's kind of like got some meat to him, and he's like tall and long. We knew that was going to be a tough fight. But yeah, watching your friend go in there and fight is kind of tough. Like I said, for some reason, when you're fighting, you think you have control, like, or you're in control of the situation. So to watch your friend getting beat up, you're like, you feel helpless. You want to, like, jump in there, but. You know, that's what they chose to do. So, made your bed, go lie in it.
That's the business.
Yeah, that's the business.
Yeah.
But sure, like, if you watch your friend go out and fail on stage trying to sing, you're like, sorry.
You know.
At least they're not getting their face punched in. But
this is true.
Still, it hurts in a different way, I'm sure. If someone goes out there and fails, it probably hurts even worse.
Well, so it's a mind fuck either way.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how you failed that day or whatever it is you failed at, if, you know, if that's your job, if that's what you do.
Yeah, like, and you fail, it fucks sucks. With it's a you. Shitty feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a horrible feeling.
And then you fail. Like, a lot of people, this is a saying, a lot of people fail in their jobs or in their life, but it's not public.
Yeah.
Like, if you fail or if I fail, yeah, it's in front public. Of millions mm-hmm. of people.
It's very public.
And they're all going to let you know about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you fail in private, it's said and done. But if you fail in front of a million, you get knocked out in front of millions of people. They're all on Twitter, Instagram, letting you know. You fucking got knocked. You're like, yeah, I gathered that, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't know I got knocked out. Like, fuck you. But,
yeah, if you go into a rant on stage and it goes viral the next day. Yeah.
Did that happen to you?
I've said some things.
Yeah. You're shaking your head like it happened.
There's definitely.
I'm saying.
There may be some
occurrence.
Footage
which,
out
which,
there.
Which occurrence?
Which rant? Which rant?
We're going to look you on YouTube, see what I can come up with.
There's a few. We're not talking about me, though. We're talking about you.
What about when you, I mean, I assume the closeness of you and the fighters, you've obviously faced off against your friends as well, or have you?
Yeah, I wouldn't really call them friends, but kind of like, so when I was in the Ultimate Fighter, you're living with these guys. So 16 other fighters, you're all living in the same house. You're like, some of the guys in my room, because I don't know, there's like 7 or 8 rooms in the house, but yeah, you're kind of there's like 3 or 4 guys to a room, this big ass mansion in Las Vegas. And so everyone in your room isn't on your team. So every morning you're looking up, you're like, I might have to fight this guy. But you start, you know, like, some guys are cool. You start to like get along with them. And then as it starts kind of dwindling down towards the end, you're like, I might have to fight this motherfucker. But then it just, you become, it's a sport at the end of the day. It's nothing personal. Mm-hmm. It's like, we both like fighting people for money. So. Why not fight your ass?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's go do it. Let's go make our money. Let the best man win, you know? Yeah. But, I would probably not want to fight any of my, like, real teammates that I've been training. Like, Ryan Bader, we started training at Arizona State together in, like, 2003. It's almost 17 years. I don't think I'd want to fight him. Yeah, that would be weird. But, like, you meet friends in the industry, wouldn't be the same, you know? But you're, like, people from that team you've been with for so long, that might be a little...
Okay.
Odd, but people have done it, you know. I would only see that happening if it came down to like a world title of some sort, you know, like you're the champion, like I need to try to make my go at it, but I don't foresee that happening. He's double champion in Bellator right now, and I'm in Riz in a totally different promotion, so we should be good.
Yeah,
I've been in like a couple of fights, like when I was a kid, and just normal stupid bullshit, you know, kids fighting and stuff like that. Not like what you guys do. How do you do the difference between just seeing red and just like you're really fighting this guy and then just being able to hear that bell and turning it off? How do you do that?
Through training. You know, you train every day leading up to the fight. You know, the 5-minute rounds, hear the bell, you stop, that and that. But really when you go into a fight, you know this guy's not probably going away. Like in a street fight, it's going to last 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
Someone's getting fucked up, it's done and over. Professional fight, you go in there like banking that this thing's going 15 minutes. You're like, I don't want to be like, go out there and blow my wad.
Yeah.
And then this fight like keeps going on for 10 more minutes and I'm exhausted and this guy's using me as a punching bag.
Yeah.
Like in the streets, in 30 seconds or a minute, either one guy's going to be finished or bouncers or someone's intervening for the most part. Not saying that there hasn't been longer fights, but for the most part. And so that's always in the back of your mind. Like, I'm not going to go and fight off anger in a cage fight because you go crazy for 2 minutes and you don't finish him. You're exhausted and he's not.
Yeah.
And he's a fucking trained killer and he's going to beat the fuck out of you. So that's in the back of your mind, like, stay calm, stay composed. But there's a time to flip that switch. When you hurt him, you go, you know, for the kill.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess...
You just got to be
like
careful.
Like a lion, you know? Like when you get your prey down, you go for the kill, but they don't, you know, they sit around their patient until it's time. But going out and just going balls to the wall out the gate with no setup or technique or anything. Like I said, it's a chess match. Hey, you want to take your time, and when the time is right, you go for it.
All right, so here's a question. Hypothetically, you have two guys like yourself, and y'all are in a bar, and y'all are just going to get into a good old-fashioned bar fight. Are you guys going to try to, like, do the whole MMA thing, or are you guys just going to go to blows?
You're going
to
go to blows, yeah.
Okay.
I know.
So are there guys that, you know, it's like,
from experience, like, you're not going to like dance around and set your jab up okay. In a fucking bar fight worrying about someone hitting you in the head with a cue ball or a pool stick or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're two different things. Like in the ring, there's a fucking referee. If you get knocked out, that's like a ref's jumping in or you get hurt, you know, ref's jumping in the street. That's life or death.
Yeah.
Like you get knocked down, some guy might stomp your head in or put you on the curb or fucking hit you in the head with a beer bottle. There's so many more factors that I think, if something pops off, you're going crazy like right away.
Gotcha.
Going to berserk mode. I think that's human nature.
I think it is. Okay. Yeah, it's that fight or flight thing.
A professional fighter is going to be more
that
like
skill.
More technical, but they're going balls to the wall because you don't know all the elements. Like, is there a guy behind me? Is there a guy to the side? How many guys is with this guy?
Well, like you said, it's a chess match in there.
Yeah, and there I know it's a fair fight. It's one-on-one. There's a referee. There's going to be after the first 5 minutes, there's going to be a minute break. Like, there's rules to it.
Yeah.
In the streets, there are no rules.
Gotcha. Cool. Good answer. Let's talk about this right here, man. This was a cool surprise. This is, it looks like my own personal, like, Super Bowl ring.
It's damn near as big.
It's huge. It's very comfortable, though, and it fits really well. You brought me this, and, I had just gotten you my ring size just a few days ago.
Yeah, it was just made a few days ago.
Right on. And
custom made.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful silver ring. It's got a big old school mic on it. It's got two guitars wrapped around it. And it's shaped like a Super Bowl ring. And it makes me look really awesome. And I feel cool whenever I move my hands. You
fucking look cool in it.
Yeah, thank you. But talk about your company.
So, yeah, it's these guys. It's called the American Sons. They're kind of like the ideal American. And they... their kind of theme, like American made, hardworking, blue collar people. And they knew about you. Like, I was like, oh yeah, I know Cody Jinks, or I'm going. I told him I was coming out here. They're like, you know fucking Cody Jinks? Like, we love that guy. Like, we have the perfect ring for him. And they got super excited. But like I said, they're hardworking, blue collar guys.
Yeah. Like Huck.
Like Huck over here.
What's my blue collar cock?
Oh no. I thought it sucked my blue collar. Has it a picture of a chicken drinking beer? It's a rooster. Oh, it's a rooster. I'm sorry. My innocent mind didn't get that.
I thought it sucked my chicken. I didn't understand it.
Yeah, CB goes, you might not want to wear that. You might get kicked out. Well, I do.
No, nah, man. You're in the right fucking place.
Yeah. I told CB. Yeah. This is the right room to wear.
Yeah,
he told me I thought you had to wear sleeves to the event, but
I did make sleeves just in case. We're going to
are they Velcro?
Did they make sleeves? Did they make sleeves big enough?
I'm going back out, brother.
Did they make sleeves big enough for you?
Yeah, that's why they're cut off, my friend.
Because good Lord, man.
Also, CB,
look at my thigh.
Dad is out drinking you. Look at how many beers your dad's had during this podcast.
Crack that beer bottle.
I have the fucking coronavirus, bro. He just flew in, man.
Yeah,
he just flew in.
He's already blaming the coronavirus.
He's already got it.
Get the son of a bitch alive.
Hey, it's a fucking, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
That's right. Yeah.
He's sprinting out the gate. We'll see where you're at 2 a.m.
I'm an old pro, my friend.
He's going.
I'll be 60 deep and still talking shit.
He came to Chicago and he was fine the whole.
Yeah, I heard he's.
I asked him, after
the concert, I messaged him the next day. I was like, how'd it go? He's like, those boys like to party.
We drank some beer from experience.
I went and hung out with him, I remember the first half of the night. Then I woke up in my bed. I was like, oh man, I hope I didn't do anything fucked up.
The first half of the night was with us. The second half was when we were on stage. So that is not.
Yeah, no, but then we went. When I was with you guys, then we went to the tour bus after.
Yeah.
So I don't remember much of that, I meant. But I just woke up in my bed. Yeah, I got a good text that everything went well. I was like, oh, thank God I didn't do anything too fucked up.
None of you guys have ever been out of line.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is one of those things you don't want to like. Be like having a night and then like wake up in your bed. Like,
but we all do that though.
Yeah, we've all been there, but you don't want that to happen.
Yeah, we've all been there though, because you know it's like waking up and you know be like thinking about, do I need to apologize to anybody?
Yeah,
today?
Who do I need to apologize?
And if I do, I don't know who it needs to be with.
You see your car in the driveway, you're like, how'd that get there?
Like in the driveway and on the grass.
Yeah, in the front yard. You're like,
kind of.
Your bumper hanging.
Your bumper's in the road.
Like, please tell me I'm not the one that drove that home.
Your company here, the American Sons.
The American Sons, yeah. They're just buddies. It's kind of like the Ape Man Strong guys. We're all Arizona guys, so we try to help each other out. Like I sent you guys Ape Man shirts. I want to get jewelry to you guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Like they want to support you. Hopefully you guys support them.
Hell
you know,
yeah, man. Shout out.
We appreciate the shout out.
That's how the business works.
And people,
like I'm kind of, Adam will beat your ass, bro. I've been training him in boxing. Yeah, that's right.
So you can find them on Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, Twitter, I'm sure they have too. But
yeah,
like I was saying, yeah, we just try to all kind of help each other out.
Yeah.
You know, support. When we can, but
dude, y'all
I'm a little jealous
great work.
Of your ring. Actually, I want one of those.
And it's super freaking cool. It's probably one, and it's got
the
customization.
The detail, man, is
the detail on the inside as well.
This is different.
It's just super cool. It's one of the coolest rings anybody's ever given to me.
So I was saying,
so I like the necklace. I don't know if you saw that. Okay.
I did. Is that the one that has the "Don't Tread on Me" on it? Yeah, I saw that.
Big fan of the "Don't Tread on
Me" with the snake wrapped around it.
This stuff's good. This
yeah, it's super
run,
cool.
You know, they're just starting. Like I said, they just opened shop within the last 6 months. So,
right. Oh wow,
they're just getting going. It's like three guys, you know. But they use that nine. I think it's the 925 silver. It's nice, heavy, good shit.
So, yeah, that's what it says on the inside. The 925
real silver. Yeah, not some bullshit.
No, it's heavy. It's a piece, man. But it's,
did you bring your fucking belt buckle?
No, I forgot a belt, man. I'm wearing no belt, no underwear, no nothing.
No shoes.
I'm glad you remember pants.
In my truck. Well, I figured if I was coming here, I shouldn't wear underwear.
No, because this is that kind of party.
Exactly.
Is that right?
I figured it would be.
What'd you have, Josh?
You know, kind of what is the next step after wrestling for you? You know, you've got this stuff, but what are you...
Fighting.
You're just going to keep fighting, huh?
No, yes.
Wrestling.
I said wrestling.
Yeah, we're not wrestling out there. I wish.
My fault.
Wrestling is a little easier on
fighting.
The body.
Fighting.
Sorry. Let's
fighting.
Three, two,
fighting.
One.
We all gotta say it.
So,
put him in the Peruvian necktie.
Peruvian necktie. Yeah.
He deserves it after
what
that.
What is after fighting?
Right now, my girlfriend's a doctor, and we talked about opening like a gym. Like clinic together, where on one side I'm doing the health stuff, on the other side, or not, She's doing the health stuff. I'm doing the fitness stuff on the other side. It's kind of pairing up, but we'll see. That I do marketing stuff, like, you know, with the American Sons, Ape Man Strong. So I see stuff there. A lot of the companies I've worked with over the years, positions there. I kind of always just want to work for myself. After, like I said, right out of college, I worked as a recruiter for the IT field for our company, which wasn't, you know, I'm still friends with the owners and everything of that. But working for yourself, as you know, it's the freedom. It's not about how much money you make.
No.
It's having the freedom to do what you want in life. Also, I have a nonprofit. It's called Vets and Adventures. It's about 2 years old and just trying to get it off the ground. So I haven't been able to give it as much attention as I want to with my fighting career still going on. But once my fighting career is over, I definitely want to go full steam ahead with that and be very involved in that, where we train veterans in mixed martial arts and take them on outdoor adventures, just kind of create a community for them. A lot of these guys, like I've been on a lot of tours through Iraq, the Middle East.
Wait, with Fight for Troops?
Armed Forces Entertainment.
Okay.
So went over, taught mixed martial arts to those guys and actually worked with, it's called Merging Vets and Players in Hollywood, California. My buddy Jay Glazer runs that, the Fox NFL analyst.
Yeah,
so he runs that out of his gym, Unbreakable Performance, in Hollywood, California. So I got to work with a lot of guys up there doing that program, teaching them stuff and seeing how much it helped them. Me and my buddy, you met Nick, he came to the concert, the ex-Green Beret. Mm-hmm. We hiked into Havasu Pie. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's in the Grand Canyon, all the waterfalls. Yeah, look it up if you can. It's the most photographed place on earth, they say.
Wow.
It's like the water's like blue from all the turquoise and stuff. They have all these crazy waterfalls. But anyway, me and him hiked into there and we're like talking about kind of, yeah, what I'm going to do after fighting and stuff. And we started talking about the nonprofit and he's like, fuck, we should just start one. So me, him, and another buddy of mine all got our shit together, put everything together and got our 501c3 and now have a nonprofit. Able to raise some funding through my other friends that own businesses, got all the equipment and we put on a couple of the classes and stuff and getting guys, getting interest in it. And just once I'm able to put more time there, I could really see it blowing up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's like rewarding work and I'm still working in the field in my expertise and something I enjoy. So it may not make $1 million, but I'll be happy every day I go to work.
So, and I don't know this. And is there any research into, you know, mixed martial arts and PTSD and those things helping each other? Or
I don't know if there's research in it yet, but watching it, being firsthand and listening to the guys. So Jay's is a little different than mine. He just has the guys train. And then after, they all sit around and kind of talk about what's going on in their life, maybe the hardships and whatnot's going on in their life. It gives them like that sense of unity again. Once you leave the military, you don't have that anymore and they feel lost. And it gives them a place to come, get back together, you know, be part of something and be in a productive thing. Keep them out of the bars. You know, it gives them like a schedule. Instead of, I'm going to go out and drink tonight with all my friends, it's not the right place for some of these guys to be. You know, they have a lot of anger and whatnot.
Yeah.
They can go there, do mixed martial arts and get it out.
It's constructive.
Yeah, it's constructive and do something good. And
yeah.
So you see positive effects, even though they're...
Yeah, you see positive effects. There's no research on it. I bet there is research on it, though, if you looked, that doing anything physical is going to help you. As far as, there's, endorphins and stuff that get really, make you happy. Mm-hmm. As long as you're kind of staying active, you don't want to see a guy come home from war and sit in his house and drink every day. That's not going to be a good outcome for the most part, you know, so... Yeah, getting them out, moving, active, involved in the community, helping around the gym, whatever. It's a good thing for everybody.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's with Jay's. Like I said, he saw the correlation between football players, baseball players, and stuff leaving the pros and going back to civilian life, and then the soldiers going back to civilian life. So he teamed them up. So that's the Merging Vets and Players.
Yeah,
it's professional athletes with veterans together, and they work together to kind of be a team, you know, and help each other out,
fantastic,
support each other. So
man, that's great work, dude. Like that's cool.
Well, it's great to be able to share your talent.
Yeah.
With someone, you know, and see the smiles on their face. And a lot of the people, when I worked with and his, they'd come up after, thank you so much for coming. Very thankful.
Yeah.
Humble people. So, yeah. And my dad's a veteran, you know, Vietnam veteran. So definitely respect it and want to do what I can to give back.
Well, we're all affected by it in one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
One thing that I would... Oh.
No, that was it.
I was going to say, because you brought up your dad, and I always what kind of support system was he for you, you know, when you started to fight and started to the UFC and Like, was he on board?
That's a funny story that you bring that up.
I guess we're going for another beer here. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Beer me.
Beer me.
Yeah, you're out. Your old man's fucking chugging beers back here with me. I love your dad. He's the best.
Anyway, but yeah, like I said, talking about your dad.
My dad knew I'd kind of started training, and he's like, you better not be fucking getting into that cage fighting stuff. And I was like, yeah, definitely not doing that. So I was like on my third professional fight so he has no idea I'm fighting. I'm three pro fights in. I don't know who I think it was my brother or sister, someone let him know. Like, yeah, he's fighting professionally now. He's like, I fucking sent you, because I graduated from Arizona State, bachelor's degree and stuff. He's like, you went to fucking school, now you're fighting in a cage. I'm like, yeah, pretty much. It's like, it's a great backup plan if fighting doesn't work out or whatever. But
you have a degree?
Yeah.
Well, and you're also building your own portfolio. You've got a whole bunch of shit going on.
So, but yeah, but my degree is sociology and justice studies. I was going to go into the FBI or like CIA or something exciting, and fighting was more exciting. So
you just felt like playing chess in an octagon with somebody trying to beat your brains in. It was just a little more exciting.
A little more exciting, a little more fun, a little more women, a little more alcohol and late nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like my buddy who is the Green Beret said. He goes, I'll never be as cool as I was when I was a fucking Green Beret. I kind of feel like with fighting, like, you're never going to be as cool as you were when you were a fucking UFC fighter. I don't know what else I could get into. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you when you're done with your music, but see, you guys have longer careers than us.
We do.
No one's beating the shit out of you yet.
We beat the shit
out
of ourselves.
We'll see what happens tonight. Yeah. The road beats you up, huh?
Yeah.
I had a chance to, one of my buddies was training Lee Bryce. He came and visited our gym. He was telling me about the road. So that's why he brought him on tour with him so he could work out. But he said, the problem is that all these meet and greets and everything, everyone, have a beer with me, have a beer with me, have a drink. He goes, before I knew it, I was putting on a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
It tears you up.
Cody wouldn't know anything about putting on weight.
I just started.
He looks like he stays trim.
I just put on 10 pounds in the last year. I'm about to be 40, so I guess my metabolism started to slow down.
That's what it is.
Because I've been the same weight for like the last 20 years, and then I went to the doctor a couple months ago, and I'd put on 10 pounds, and it's Miller Lite right in there.
You got to switch to Michelob Ultra.
It's only one calorie less, man. Yeah, I mean, it's like
Miller Lite's with beer. Again.
Yeah, that's where you're at. But yeah, I'm putting on a little weight, dude. I don't know if you guys can see this on the. I got a little fold here on my belly.
What'd you call it?
Fold?
No, what'd you call it the other day?
What I call it the other day? It
sticks out further.
It's a panis. A dicky do.
There you go.
Yeah. And your belly stick out further than your dicky do.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
And when you get a panis, we got a problem.
What panis? Yeah, I just learned what a panis was. You know what a panis
that's
is?
That's the medical term for
Oh, this is going downhill quick.
Don't develop one of those.
Yeah. Well, hey, look at the edit button. Cool. Man, anything else you want to touch on? Anything exciting you got coming up?
Hopefully the end of July. Yeah, end of July, heading back to Tokyo to fight again over in Rizin in that Saitama Super Arena.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking forward to that. Going to possibly fight a guy from Russia. We'll see. Trying to get opponents right now.
Yeah.
Haven't got anything yet. But, yeah, that looks like the next time I'll be out. So I'll be heading back across the, I don't know if you call it the pond.
The pond.
That's Japan's
a,
like,
that's a pond. That's a
big lake.
That's
yeah,
a big
trip.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth it. I enjoy going over there. That's after I come back from here, having a little bit of fun with you guys, spend a week with my dad, then I'm going back, you know, getting right into training and trying to get ready for that in July.
Yeah. So, fantastic.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me out.
So, thank you for
having
me, man.
It's an honor.
Like I said, man, you just jumped off an airplane, hauled ass over here. We started chugging beers.
I knew you had cold beers. So.
That's right.
And I knew Huck Finn was here, and there wouldn't be many left.
And Huck.
We got them all. Time to go.
All right. So cbdolloway.com, and you've got your Facebook and your Instagram as well. So
yeah,
you
just
are
CB Dolloway on all of them.
Yeah. So you're easily accessible social media. I looked all your social media up, and that's all well kept and up to date. All that good stuff. Thank you again, man. We appreciate your time. Thank you again for the ring, man. That was super cool, you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
When we make our way out to the West Coast, man, we'll have to bring them out.
Yeah,
if you come out, we'll take you down to the actual factory where they make it all.
I'd love to, man. Yeah, do a little tour.
I'm here in July.
I think we'll be out there.
Hopefully
about
not
that
July, late July.
No,
be
beginning.
Because you'll be in Japan.
Yeah, hopefully
right?
Early July. I won't be able to have any beers with you then.
No, I think it's early July. You'll be training.
I'll bring Huck. Huck will drink. My
he'll have
he'll drink
his
for all.
All right.
He'll
take drink there you go. You got it. Well, cool. Well, hey, thank you again, CB Dalloway, Hot Rod Austin Tripp over here, thank Bobby
you,
Keith,
thank
Kilgore.
You for being here.
Thank you guys. Looking forward to the show tonight.
Hell yeah, Josh Thompson.
Yep.
All right, rock and roll. You've been a couple in with Cody Jinks. See you next time.
Josh the Punk Thompson.
Josh the Punk.